delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew. Try this beef stew. Try this beef stew.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome to another great show. I am your host, DJ Big Stu. You know how I do it every Monday. I interview somebody that wrote a great book, and, you know, and I just speak to them and, you know, ask them questions about the book. Well, we got today's guest is Mr. Jerry Smith, all the way from Dallas, Texas. Welcome, Mr. Smith, to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to get my story out there.
I mean, your story is one great story. I mean, and it's a great story and it's a sad story. I mean, first of all, I want you to, you know, to tell you was diagnosed with you was diagnosed to live for 6 months, and I want you to explain to everybody how did that feel when you first got diagnosed that you only had 6 months to live.
Okay, well, excuse me, I'm a little bit hoarse, so I apologize. Hopefully, my voice will hold up. It. I have a lot of trouble with allergies and things affecting my voice. But my life started off basically when my grandmother died giving birth to my mother, and my mother was born a deaf mute. Then she was abandoned because she was considered handicapped, would you believe? And then when she was grown, she had no formal education. She really couldn't get a job, do anything, but all she could do was work as a live-in housekeeper. She was raped by the homeowner, became pregnant with me, and then nobody would take us, and so she abandoned me. Well, then different people placed me with four different families, and each one of them ended up rejecting me. And so at the age of four, I was finally placed in the state foster care program. And then when I graduated from high school, I worked my way through college, got married my senior year, and several years later, my wife was shot to death by a drug addict. Wow. Then it went on for a few years after that, and my grandson, when he turned 15, he was given a car for his birthday, on his birthday, and he got on the freeway on the very same day, the first day he drove the car, and would you believe he was in an automobile accident, was killed, ran over by 18-wheeler. Then I attempted suicide. Well, the point being that from the time I was young enough to remember anything, I was already full of anger and hate and depression and just miserable, you know, throughout my life. And so with all these stresses, it just got to be too much. And my first in-laws, when it looked like I was going to marry their daughter, they had me investigated for some reason, good old Southern people. And they found out that the investigator found out that since I was an orphan, I didn't know who my so therefore, he's trash. You can't marry him. Attitude, and they would tell their daughter that in front of me. So we got married anyway. They didn't even come to the wedding. So that just continued the pattern of rejection from birth all the way up to, you know, quite a few years. So anyway, with all of this stress, I attempted suicide. Was in a coma about 6 days, and when I came out of it, by then I was about 48 years old. Been miserable all my life for the most part. I had remarried and was causing my second wife a tremendous amount of grief, and it was all my fault from all that I was going through and holding on to. We tend to hang on to our hatred and our resentments of people that have done us wrong. I think that's normal. But my wife and I did eventually work things out, and now we've been married almost 38 years, and it's the best of my life. But anyway, at 48 years of age, coming out of the hospital, I said, now, look, I've got to turn things around. I mean, I can't go on any longer. I mean, the attempted suicide was, you know, obviously proof of that. And so through a lot of different advice and pressures, I ended up visiting churches, and I started reading the Bible. And I don't care what a person's belief is in a God or a higher being or higher power or whatever. But I discovered, and it doesn't matter, I think it doesn't matter whether you believe in a God or not, that there basically is only one good way to beat this this depression and hatred and anger and everything that is preventing you from ever being happy, and that is forgiveness. You know, I tried everything. practically. But when I started in the Bible about forgiveness, when I started that, it was a long process. It probably took me a couple of years because, hey, we want to hold on to our anger, you know, and our hate. And so I worked at it really, really hard because as I made progress, I began to experience some of this happiness feeling that I almost didn't know what it was. It was so good. And so after about 2 years, I guess I'm completely through, and I was pretty much forgiven everybody, and I was just so happy. It was unbelievable. I guess it would be maybe like being on drugs, except I never used drugs. Mm-hmm. But in any case, so I started this tremendous happiness. It lasted for about 12 years. And I mean, it was I couldn't be happy with everything, work, family, children, you name it. And then one day I had to go have a physical, and I was 54 years old. And so when we have this test, my doctor all of a sudden sends me to other tests, another test, another test. And then he says, I'm going to put you in the hospital for a lung biopsy. Now you got my attention. You know, test one thing, but when you start talking about going to the hospital for surgery for a test, so
dealing with the lungs,
when
yeah.
I had that, huh?
Not so saying when dealing I had with
that the test, lung. Yeah, and so he, and then when he got the lung biopsy done, then they sent it to the Mayo Clinic's lab in Phoenix, Arizona. They do about 10,000 lab analysis a year. And that was even more serious. And they confirmed the diagnosis. We sat down with this doctor, my wife and I, on a Friday afternoon. And he said, well, Ms. Smith, I guess the only thing I can do is give you the worst diagnosis I could give anybody. And oh, my heart just sunk. Well, what is it, you know? And he said, well, you have a lung disease by the name of pulmonary fibrosis. We don't know what causes it. We don't know how to treat it. There's no medicine, no cure, no treatment, nothing worldwide.
Wow.
And the bottom line was, go home and wait to die.
Wow.
And I said, well, how much time do I have? He said, well, based on my experience, I would say 6 months to 2 years. And I kept pushing him, but there must be, you know, something to take to extend it to whatever and so forth. You know, and is there any research? No, as far as I'm aware, there isn't any research being done at this time. And I kept pushing, and finally he made this statement. Look, you have a death sentence, and there is no hope.
Wow.
And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, on a Friday afternoon, he says, whatever you've been doing up till now, just keep doing that. You know, that's kind of that's really poor. I have talked to a lot of patients with pulmonary fibrosis and some cancers in the last 4 years since I was cured, and many doctors have told them just to go home and wait to die. The doctors just destroy your hope. So I go home. It's Friday afternoon. I go home, and now I'm going through all kinds of levels of emotion and rage, and just I even screamed, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? After all, you put me through. I was just, and so typically I just started reliving my life, going through the same steps that I just mentioned on the show here. And at each step, I blame God. It's your fault, why did you allow this, you know? But, you know, I raged for about, I don't know, 40, 45 minutes, whatever. And you know what I did? I actually got rid of all of that rage and hate and anger in that 40, 45 minutes, whatever. Because when I got back up to the current time, to the present time, I was calm. I was quiet. I had solitude. I didn't have any, it's almost like I didn't have any feeling. I was just kind of numb but clear-headed. And I look back now and I realize there probably a purpose or a benefit for that was to clear my head and get rid of all the anger so you could think. So I could think, you know, rationally. And so I said, well, you know, I've never been a quitter. I'm not going to quit now. There's got to be an answer somewhere. What can I do? And the only thing I could think of was, hey, get on the internet. That's what most any of us can do. And I just started Googling all over the world for anything, everything related to pulmonary fibrosis, cures, treatments, patients, doctors that have treated it, research, you name it. I spent about 2 weeks, and I probably used every combination of words I could think of. And when I finished the 2 weeks, I was at zero, nothing. I mean, there was just nothing. Even the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation of Europe, all it said was that this is an untreatable, incurable lung disease, and the average lifespan worldwide is 7 years. And that was it. So I was ready to quit. Not quit, give up. And I was down, of course, and I thought about it for a little bit, and then a thought popped in my head. And it said, how about looking for a doctor that has his own laboratory? I had not even thought of that. In that combination.
Didn't scare you? It didn't scare you that a doctor that would have his own laboratory at first, it didn't make you feel that you might be risking your life even more?
When you're looking at 6 months, you don't care.
Yeah.
I think all you care about, is there a shred of hope? Is there a thread? Is there just anything? And so, and I'd already done what I thought was all I could, I could come up with. And so I started doing that, and I found this doctor in Germany. And lo and behold, he could speak broken English. So I was actually able to talk to him on the telephone. So I was so happy to do that. I said, well, Dr. Keith, I said, do you know anything about pulmonary fibrosis? Well, Jerry, I don't know anything about it except that it's incurable. Strike one. I said, well, have you treated anything that would be similar in nature to pulmonary fibrosis? Like even cancer. He had his own laboratory for about 25 years, and he had done extensive research on cancers and was beginning to cure quite a few cancer patients. And he said, no, Jerry, I don't think anything I've done would help the treatment for pulmonary fibrosis at all. Strike two. And I said, well, have you heard of any of your colleagues doing any research, anything going on worldwide, anywhere? Jerry, I'm sorry, not to best of my opinion or knowledge, I don't know of anything. Strike three, I'm out. My heart sinks. I know that's it. That's my last thought. So I guess it's time to face reality. And then I was quiet. I couldn't think of anything to say. And it was probably 45 seconds, maybe a minute, but it seemed like a lot longer. And he hadn't said anything either. And I think the doctor spoke up first, but I think he could hear that my voice, the anxiety in my voice, because he suddenly spoke up and said, look, Jerry, said, if you would be willing to send me a sample of your blood, I would be willing to analyze it. And if I can find a culprit, he called it, I'd be willing to research it, see if there's any way that I can come up and create any kind of serum that could help some. He said, I do not want to get your hopes up. I don't think there's any way I could cure you, but I think I could improve the quality of your life. So that started another struggle trying to send my blood over there. Now, and you may or may not realize why it was such a struggle to send my own blood over there.
That's what I wanted to ask you. What made it a struggle?
The doctors in this country, in my opinion, and I've talked to a lot of them in that almost 6 years, they don't go overseas for treatment, for medical procedures, most of them, at least all of them I've talked to, and I've heard from other people. Well, so I had to send 20 cc's of my blood. So, over the period of the next 2 weeks, I went to 8 doctors. I need my blood drawn. I need something to be put into it to keep it from spoiling for a 2-day shipment to Germany. And of course, everyone would say, well, what do you want with it? What are you going to do with it? And then everyone turned me down. They would say, look, that's a waste of your time and money. I said, wait a minute. My doctor says I might have 6 months to live. What am I going to wait for? And what am I going to waste? And why should I save my money? It was kind of irritating. And then another one would say, well, that's outside the AMA box, the American Medical Association. Now, the research I've done since then really makes that irritating statement because, let me tell you, my research shows now that less than 25% of the doctors in the United States even belong to the AMA anymore because they have disputes with it. They don't believe it. They don't. But in any case, and my most favorite remark was, hey, you don't want to do that. It's just voodoo medicine.
Wow.
I said, this is ridiculous. This is my life. I'll do whatever I can and anything I can.
Exactly.
So I kept looking. And so finally, I ended up finding a homeopathic doctor in Fort Worth, Texas. This will draw my blood. So I sent my blood over there. Now, this doctor in Germany, and I have been sending him a lot of patients in the almost 4 years I've been cured. He analyzed my blood. He came up with what he thought was a fungus. He started researching. He spent almost 6 months analyzing my blood, researching it for making a serum, and then creating the serum. And then I had to send him another 200 cc's of my blood to mix with the serum that he had made. Then he processed that through the ozone oxidation machine. I think it's kind of like a curing effect. And that ozone oxidation machine only uses 100% pure oxygen, no drugs. And
wow.
Now here's what's going to blow your mind, I think. Europe has used ozone oxidation for over 200 years, and it's used in most hospitals around the world. But there's two countries that still will not approve ozone oxidation treatment as being safe, and that's the United States and Canada. And
that's
it only
funny,
uses
probably.
Oxygen.
Well, you think because they make more money through the medicine, that's basically the real reason.
I think they use drugs that sell it. I mean, they approve it. I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but my opinion is that the pharmaceutical industry is in control in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I really
agree with
that. So you know what I'm telling you is doctor spent 6 months. I had not sent him any money up front, and I did not sign a contract with him. And when the medicine was ready, almost 6 months later, we went over there to get it so I could meet the doctor and I could get a look at everything and just kind of feel a bit more comfortable that it was an okay thing, you know. Well, you know, and how many doctors in this country would have done any of that and spent 6 months working on you without any money up front?
Or without any insurance.
Exactly. So my wife, I couldn't do it myself. I guess I was too much of a weenie. My wife gave me 2 shots a day, and I drank liquid twice a day. That was putting my own blood back into my body for 8 months. My lung capacity had dropped to 60% lung capacity, and it's 4 years after I was cured, it is still around 60% lung capacity. It's a permanent loss. But
yeah.
But after that 8 months, I failed to mention that my pulmonary doctor, I still go to him every 6 months for a breathing test that measures the lung capacity. And that's how you're going to, suppose that's how you're going to tell if you've got a resurgence of a problem, but you'd know it yourself without that. But in any case, I go every 6 months. So when I went to him after that 8 months of treatment, it was one batch. He told me, and I did not tell the doctor here that I was going to Germany because of all the sarcasm, as I mentioned a while ago. So he still doesn't know what to say, but he told me, he said, well, Jerry, your lung capacity has quit dropping. It's leveled off. I don't know why, but maybe that's a good sign. And so I sent that report plus another 20 cc's of blood to Germany to my doctor to analyze. My doctor then over there then sent me an email report saying, Jerry, analyzing your blood and you're looking at your report test, this confirms to me, I believe, that I chose the right problem causing your pulmonary fibrosis. I'm going to make you a second 8-month batch. I'm going to tweak it. I'm going to make it stronger. And get this. And when you finish this second batch, Jerry, you will be cured. 8 months later, I was cured.
Wow. So did you bring this back to America and they still didn't like, I mean, I know you came back and you told your doctor, so they didn't think to try to bring this new this new medicine or the way you got it done to America?
No. They don't want to believe it. They won't believe it. Excuse me, I'm sorry. If I tell you, there's two associations in this country, the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation of America, which is in Chicago, Illinois. Dr. Rose is the president. Then there is the Coalition for Pulmonary Fibrosis in California. Mishka Mishan is the CEO. And I think that one, I think their job is the CEO of the coalition. I think they mainly are just interested in validation or non-validation of claims. But anyway, I contacted both of them with my medical reports, my everything, and the results and tests and everything. They were interested in the beginning. And then they started having doubts and doubts. And finally, both of them got back to me with the attitude, well, one of them specifically said, well, Jerry, we believe you were cured of something. But I think it was probably something that was just on the surface appeared to be similar to pulmonary fibrosis, but wasn't that serious. We still don't believe it can be cured. And so, or that you were either misdiagnosed. That's one the doctors like to use on me. You were misdiagnosed. Well, I said, how did I lose 40% of my lung capacity? But in any case, then I told them both, I said, what if I sent you a lung biopsy, you know, that the hospital did, and was sent to the Mayo Clinic lab and confirmed by the Mayo Clinic lab? Would you trust them? Well, yeah, that'd be a big help. I sent both of them that, and they didn't get back to me. And so then after a few weeks, I contacted both of them again, and they still had their doubts. And I said, well, the only thing that I can think of that I've got left I could tell you is, how about I can arrange a telephone conversation for you to have with my doctor in Germany, because we've gotten to be very good friends. By the way, this doctor, I was his first pulmonary fibrosis, you know, patient ever. I was kind of like a guinea pig for him. And they said, yeah, that would be good. But you know what? 6 months later, I could never get either one of them to talk to him.
Mm.
Now, you tell me what that means to you. You know?
I mean, the same thing like we said in the beginning, that somewhere along the line, they found out your cure would affect their money. And you know what I'm saying? That's what I really feel, you know?
You're right. I think you're right, because I think it's all about money in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Now, you decided to write a book about this. Now, through everything you've been through, right, how did you get the courage through all that to put everything you've been through out to the public in a book?
Well, I don't know you and I didn't talk before the show, by the way, for your audience, and I don't know what your position would be, but the honest truth to answer your question is, for me, it was the fact that I learned over the next year that I was born, God's purpose was for me to experience the life that I did, to live all of these trials, and then to incur an untreatable, incurable disease, lung disease, and be cured, so that I could then start reaching out to people to tell them, look, don't let your doctor destroy your hope by telling you just to go home and wait to die. You've got to know that, hey, there's hope. You need to have faith and trust and belief, and you have to help yourself. Anybody can get on the internet and look overseas for medicine. There's countries all over this world that are so far ahead of the United States in perfecting medicines. The most active countries right now in my research is China, Russia, and Germany. They have got so many things going, you know, that's so far advanced. And so anyway, to answer your question, I started having people calling me immediately after my cure, within just a few weeks. We've heard about your cure. Can you help us? How, I don't know, because I didn't even think at that time to start asking them how they got my name, which I did start doing later. But after a while, it got to be so many of them that they started saying, well, Jerry, have you written a book? There are so many of us here that need to know that there's hope, advance. Some of us can save, not everybody. Can't cure everybody. That's impossible. And so then that thought got in my mind, and then I know that God then started bugging me that I had to write my story, and I refused. I fought it. I fought it for 2 months. I fought it with everything I had because I was scared to cry. I knew I wasn't qualified. I wasn't talented enough. I had no experience doing it, and I would fall on my face, and I didn't want to be embarrassed. I grew up an introvert, staying out of sight of anything, so that I wouldn't be seen, I wouldn't get embarrassed, I wouldn't get in trouble, and that was the attitude I had, and it got to where I had just like noise in my head, and it was just drowning out everything. I got to where I couldn't work, I couldn't think, I couldn't do anything, and I got to write this book. Like I said, I fought it for a couple of months, and I don't know if we have enough time, but I'd like to tell you one little story that was funny about how I did.
Well, we got 7 minutes, so if you can get the story in 7 minutes, okay. I would like to hear it.
Okay, let me hurry real quick, then I'll talk kind of fast. And this is good because I think I'm an intelligent guy, and so one day I just couldn't take it anymore, and I said, wait a minute, I had done some research, and I found out that in the country, less than 3% of all manuscripts that are submitted to publishers are actually printed, published, 3%. And so I said, I don't have enough to write a story. I don't know how to write it, but I know they won't publish mine, so I'll just write a few pages about what I told, on the show here. Mm-hmm. And so I picked out a publisher. I mailed it to them, and I knew that, what I meant to say was, I said, I know a way that I can beat God. I can defeat God. All I got to do is just write a few pages, submit it to a publisher. I know I'm going to be turned down, and then God will leave me alone because I did make the effort. So I knew I'd won the battle right there. So I only sent like 3.5 typewritten pages to a publisher. Well, that's not enough for a book. And so then the noise went away. And then for the next, after about 2 weeks, I'd forgotten all about it. And then 7 weeks later, I get a FedEx package from this publisher saying, wow, we love your story. We want to publish your book. We've enclosed a contract. And I panicked, said, oh my God, I don't have one. So I thought that was, but so anyway, the book came out, and then everybody said, well, an unknown nobody like you, you can't write a book, you can't get it published, you can't get it marketed, you can't do anything if you're an unknown person in this country. And within a few months, people started coming up to me, heard about my book. They wanted me to come speak. And so all of a sudden, I started speaking. And then, boom, about 6 months later, I got some calls for some radio shows. And quite frankly, in the last 16 months, I've now done 64 radio shows coast to coast, including Ontario, Canada, London, England, and Brisbane, Australia. And I've written 3 books now. My second book became an Amazon bestseller. Does God give us more than we can bear? Second edition. But my third book, is coming out this fall, and the title is Forgiveness Plus Hope, and that's with the plus sign, equals, with an equal sign, happiness. So forgiveness plus hope equals happiness. And I am talking to so many, many people. And I have people email me or call me several times a week, and they are thanking me because I've given them hope or I've helped them to get to Germany. And it is a blessing. It is making my life so happy. And, I now know that's what it's all about, is helping people. My wife tells me, she said, Jerry, look, if you don't do another thing the rest of your life, look at these 5 or 6 people that have written. You said, we owe it to you that our lives have been saved because you convinced us to go to Germany and we were cured. And, if I never do anything else, that's made me happy.
Well, Mr. Smith, I want to thank you for being on my show. You know, to me, you like the story of Job, You seem like the real life, true life story of Job that my mother told me about when I was young. You were a person that lived it. So, once again, I want to thank you for coming on our show, and I just want you to tell people where they could get your books at one more time before we go.
Okay. It's www.jerrysmith.org, O-R-G. So, www.jerrysmith.org. And I just want to point out to all of you listeners, to everybody, look, there is always hope. If you let the doctor destroy your hope, then it's like, then you just give up. But with hope, you can live a lot longer, and at the same time, you can get on the internet and Google, and you can find a chance to be cured. And if you're not, you could probably extend your life a lot longer than listening to your doctor and just giving up and dying. Don't give up.
All right. Once again, Mr. Jerry Smith, thank you again for coming on the show, and God bless you, and hope you live many more years.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate being on your show to tell people if some of them, and they can go on my website and get information for free. There's two pages about the doctor, how to reach him, his email address, the names, the email addresses, how to just send them an email and tell them what your diagnosis is and you need help. It's got all the information there. Just download it for free.
We'll put it all. Post it on our website. We'll post all that information up there.
And it's not just for pulmonary fibrosis. It's for any diseases, cancers, pulmonary fibrosis, all of them.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew.
Beef stew.
Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew. Try this beef.
Y'all know how I do it, man. I always have those exclusive interviews. Some people be asking me, they be like, yo, Stu, you be having all type of interviews, all type of people on your show for a hip-hop DJ. Well, I think I need to give information to people about different things, other than just hip-hop or other than just R&B or music, So I try to make sure that Beef Stew Radio is very informative with everything. If you really look at a lot of our shows, what we've been doing, like this month, all of us been going at Black History hard. All of us gave Whitney Houston respect, because we are a family station and we believe in, bringing the news to the masses, and that's what we plan to do here. We plan to bring information, the news to the masses, things that you might not see on different television shows or normal television shows or read in the newspaper. Now, there might be a lot of people out here who have that disease, and I'm hoping that if you do have that disease or any disease like that, I hope his faith, might make it. I think I learned something myself, actually. Like, if God forbid, I ever be, diagnosed with a terminal disease, maybe I would do the same thing. Maybe I would be trying to, run around and go overseas and try to find different ways and different things to do. So I could see that, I could see that. Like when I asked him was he scared, when you're ready to live, you're ready to live. You'll go all the way over any place if you want to live, And that's the truth, especially if you might think it might be a chance for a cure. So I think that was a good interview. Once again, we always do it good. But, it's time for me to get into some music, man. But, before I get into some music, man, Drake Sean Russ have brought to my attention about the person that I had interviewed a few years back. I think it was probably in 2002 or 2003, Jimmy Henchman. And, he was a good guy to me, man. I thought he was a real good dude. He had done a lot for hip-hop. And, unfortunately, Mr. Henchman is, detained now for, drug trafficking, charges. And also they saying that he had murdered one of 50 Cent homeboys, So it's just a tragedy, One thing about, these hip-hop police, they on it right now, But Jimmy Henchman, he was behind a lot of artists, And I just recently found out by the conference that I remember back in the 90s, How Can I Be Down, which was a big conference. It kind of took over after Jack the Rapper. Jack the Rapper was one of the conferences that was really big in the rap game where you want to go to and try to perform in front of to get a record deal or something like that. But then How Can I Be Down came out, and it was, when Jack the Rapper started fading out because, a lot of, this is in the times when hip-hop began and brothers began the fighting and, stuff like that. Things was happening. Different things was happening. You was hearing this one was coming with posses and that one was coming with posses. How Can I Be Down was a kind of different twist because it had, like, a celebrity basketball game and it had a lot of different things, I remember actually seeing the first uniforms. They went to Olaf's, because, I run a showboat. So I remember back in the days when I was really getting into trying to do a basketball tournament and I was younger. I was a younger dude, and I was really trying to learn. And I used to go by Olaf's store. Olaf is a, for those of you I don't know, that's a big-time store and uniform store for basketball, sporting goods, and basketball shorts. You know, everybody in America was used to wear all of Olaf shorts. Every basketball player you see, especially in the early 80s and 90s and 70s, wore a pair of Olaf shorts. So, you know, I used to go by Olaf's, and, you know, and that's what I got my recognition and learned about the things like that. So, and I seen the How Can I Be Down uniform up there. And I was like, oh, you know, and I used to be working in a studio called Calliope at the time, Calliope Studios, back on 33rd Street with my man Chris Irvin. And big shouts out to Chris Irvin, too. I haven't seen him in many, many, many years. But I used to work in the Calliope Studios as an intern. I interned on a lot of different records that when I was working at Calliope. I mean, I've seen Diamond D. I've seen Grand Poobah. I've seen Positive K. I've seen Big Daddy Kane. I've been an intern on a lot of sessions, you know, a lot of sessions down there. So, and, you know, and that's just my story. You know, I'm going to get into some music because I'm about ready to get deep on y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, though, I'm going to flip it because part of me want to play some smooth R&B tonight. Part of me want to play some hip-hop tonight. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to try to flip it both ways. I'm going to give y'all one half of this music show with some hip-hop and some R&B, and I'm going to come back and talk some more, you know, through the session. You know how I do. I always got my news and my gossip and my information. And then through the next joint, I might just take it back with some nice, smooth R&B, because this is Throwback Monday. See, we play all different type of music here. When you come here, you're going to get different type of music from each show. You're going to get new, old, future, up and coming. That's what we do here on Beef Stew Radio. So once again, it is your man DJ Big Stew. Let's take it back to the olden days of hip hop.
Yo, back up now and give a brother room. The fuse is lit and I'm about to go boom. Mercy, mercy, mercy me. Oh, my life was a cage, but on stage I'm free. Hyped up, psyched up, ready for wildin'. Standing in a crowd of girls like an island. I see the one I want, I said, come here, cutie. I flip her around and then I work that booty. Work the body, work, work the body. Slow down, girl, you're about to hurt somebody. Hold up, yo, let's get just one thing clear. There's only one reason why I came here. Your women don't want me to give it a dip and tell you what's up. Your women don't want me to give it a dip and tell you what's up. Your women don't want me to give it a dip and tell you what's up. I came here tonight to hear the crowd go. Ready for me yet? Well, yo, are y'all ready for me yet? Well, yo, are y'all ready for me yet? Well, here I go, here I go, here I go. Yo, dance in the aisles when the Prince steps to it. The rhymes of football, y'all, and I went and threw it out in the crowd, and yo, it was a good throw. How do I know? Because the crowd went in response to the way that I was kicking it. Smooth and individual rhymes, always original. Like the Dr. Jekyll, man, and this is my high side. I am the driver, and y'all on a rap ride. So, fellas,
yeah,
are y'all with me? A wag jam, but sometimes I get nervous and start to stutter, and I fumble every word I utter. So I just gotta chill, but it gets worse and worse. I need to get you proud to get into it. They help me calm down and I can get through it. So higher, higher, get your hands to the ceiling. Let it go, y'all don't fight the feeling. Might get a stranglehold, sweat pouring. And like Jordan, yo, I'm scoring. Yeah, that's right, y'all, and I am in the flow. So bump up the volume along with the tempo. Many a side trying to stop my show. I came here tonight to hear the crowd go.
Coming out like your bed with your rep. Well, I'll tell ya, pilgrim, I started the crap. When you were in diapers and wetting the sheets, I was at the Ponderosa rapping to the beat. Da ha, da ha, da ha, 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 ha. Sure, I rustled some cattle and tended the sheep, but my main concern was rapping to the beat. I don't bother nobody, I'm a real nice guy, kinda laid back like a dead fly. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da.
Yo, I just thought I'd take y'all back with this one. I used to hate this record, actually, but I just wanted to throw it on y'all.
Later for the cattle and rustling the cow. If I had a chance to do a repeat, you can bet your sweet dippy I'd be rapping to the beat. Da ha, da ha, da ha, ha, ha. K plus amigos, not a pasta I see. 200 punks, well what you gonna do? I got 2 6 shooters that'll see me through. That's 12 dead and 188 pallbearers. Da ha, da ha, da ha, 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 ha. What I do on your grave won't pass for flowers either. Now Curtis Blow, Run DMC, you haven't heard a rap till you heard it from me. I'm the baddest rapper in history, and there'll be no more after me. Da ha, da ha, da ha. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Santa Barbara that is, swimming pools and movie stars. Well, the first thing you know, Ron's the president. The kinfolk said, Ron, move away from there. Said in the White House is where you ought to be. So he loaded up the Lincoln and he moved to D.C. Washington, that is. Politicians taking a sip. Foreign dignitaries taking a trip. High tax and plenty Cadillac. Da ha, da ha. Da ha ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. Now you see me in my movies doing my thing, but deep in my heart I've wanted to sing. Way down up on the Swanee River, far, far away. Tit willow, tit willow. I don't think that's your style, but I'll tell ya, pilgrim, I'm versatile. Aretha Franklin, Aretha Franklin, Aretha Franklin, let me rock you, let me rock you, Aretha Franklin, let me rock you, Aretha Franklin, that's all I wanna do, Aretha Franklin. Da ha, da ha, da ha, ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. I'm feeling the groove now, pilgrim. Party over here. Party over there. There's nothing to it the way we do it. Whoop, whoop. East Coast. West Coast. Texas. Every time I put on pants, I tell ya, pilgrim, I wanna dance. I put a quarter in the juke, then I commenced to doing the duke. Da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha, da ha. It's pretty easy, as you can see, just move your arms kind of freely. Do a pause and take a step, and just be sure the beat is kept. Da ha, da ha, da ha, 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 ha. I was at the Ponderosa rapping to the beat, trying to cool off from the desert heat. I discovered something really neat. The Duke has moved with his feet. Da ha, da ha, da ha. I want plenty of ladies with my charms, but they like me the most for the moves of my arms. Whoa.
Yeah, you know how that go, man. That's that da ha, da ha. Hate that song. In the news today, I want to talk about something, man, that I feel a little sad about, man. You know, because I like her moms and her pops, man. Little Willow Smith has been reportedly been real depressed lately, you know, because her parents are basically divorcing, you know what I mean? So, you know, she, some people says is she's really, really depressed because, you know, the way she's putting up pictures on Facebook and she's tweeting her emotions, you know, she's a little kid and whether she's a star or not, and her parents are two big stars, you know, they're getting divorced and their divorce is very, very public, and, you know, when things be very public, things that we don't need for kids to hear, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes what I think is that the news forget that kids is involved in this, you know? And when you're running around, you know, paparazzi, or you're running around trying to get the great story, you guys forget about the kids that's caught up in this. So I think that's what happened with this situation. So I'm going to read a couple of, like, just I'm going to just read, like, just a couple of tweets from Little Willow, you know what I'm saying? One thing she says is, I'm a regular person. Forget that. You know, nobody has a picture-perfect life. I'm still just a child. This day has been horrific. Sometimes life sucks. So, you know, that's definitely her reaching out. You know, I hope, you know, the parents, you know, I'm pretty sure because they seem like very responsible parents, especially now they see that, you know, things that they do is definitely, you know, out in the public. So they know that Willow's emotions is out in the public now. So, you know, I'm pretty sure they're going to do their thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty, pretty sure. So Willow, you know, she stays on the news too, you know. She stays in there. So when you think about it. Now, there's another thing that, you know, I want to talk to people about, because there's a lot, we've been talking about health today. There's a lot of people out there that's trying to lose weight. And, you know, I have friends, homeboys. I have a homeboy that, he swear to God he be losing weight, and he's not losing weight. And I try to tell him, like, yo, you're getting fatter, man. I don't know, you think you're losing weight. You done gained, like, 20, 30 more pounds, man. He's like, nah, son. You know, he be eating on a crazy sausage sandwich with bacon, a bacon sausage sauerkraut with mad mustard and mad. I mean, the sandwich be looking big, and I mean, it smells good, but it looks crazy. He doesn't understand that this is bad for your health, and it puts on calories, and he done got fat. He be having crazy heartburn. He be bugging out. So I tried to kick it with him, and he wasn't, understanding what I was trying to say. So now, with that being said, right, I'm going to do a little something like this. I'm going to read 10 ways that you know that you ain't losing weight. All right? The first way you know you ain't losing weight is that you don't have enough muscle. The more muscle you have, the more calories you burn. Fat and muscle tissues consume calories all day long. Whether you're running, reading, or sleeping, no matter what you're doing, muscle rips through more calories than fat. That's a known fact. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, now people always say, gosh, dude, when you became a health thing, you know, I be interviewing all these book people, man, you know, so things, you know, I start getting my little knowledge, man. I want to live as many years as I can, you know, so it's better to know certain things. Now, the number two thing is genetics. The apple don't fall far from the tree. Now, if both parents are obsessed, I'm looking at my notes. Now, if both parents are obese, I know y'all probably like obsessed better. The obese people probably say, I liked it better when you said obsessed. But if both parents are obese, you are much likely to, and it's a shame to say this, man, but this is through my research. So that means if both of y'all are fat, you are much likely to be fat. Your kid are much likely to be fat. And that's not the, you know, I don't know if I'm saying it the right way, if it's some type of legal stuff, if I'm going to be in trouble with big people who are going to be chasing me down the street. And who says that? This is from my research. It says if both parents are obese, you are much likely to be obese. And this comes, matter of fact, I got the doctor that says this. You know what I mean? So if y'all want to get mad at somebody and go flip on somebody, go to doc, go to Jill Comis, MSRD. You know what I mean? Jill Comis, she's a doctor, you know what I'm saying? She got her, you know, in front of her name is MSRD. You know what I'm saying? Food and Science Nutrition Program Director at Norfolk State University in Virginia. So that's who helped me with my research. So if y'all don't believe me, we're going to do it. In the background, I got my favorite group, Funky 4 Plus One More, with the girl, Shy Rock. But I'm going to get back into that a little bit. I'm going to give y'all number three, then I'm going to come back. Number three reasons, you know, you're that is the difference. Now, another thing why you know that you ain't losing weight. You're getting older. You're sluggish. Metabolism is calming age is a calming aging problem, and you know it is encouraged, and we encourage it by sitting in traffic for long hours at the office, right in front of the computers. You know, we do sitting down playing PlayStation, sitting with the homeboy smoking, especially this one right here. This one right here gains a lot of weight. Sitting with the homeboy smoking Kush, drinking Heinekens and Coronas. Watching the New York Knicks play, or any sports like that, or anything like that. Just sitting in some, you know how you guys out there, brothers out there, like to do that. You're getting fat. Another thing is, your body can't keep up. To survive in the days before supermarkets, you know, to survive in the days before supermarkets, your body involved some complex starvation coping strategies. You know, that's how you gotta, you know. Back then. Now food isn't scarce. You know, these processes can work against us. You know what I'm saying? And that comes from another doctor that I kicked it with Dr. Jim Anderson. You know what I'm saying? The professor. You know, he's a professor of medicine and clinical nutrition at the University of Kentucky. And, you know, that's where his. So, I mean, you know. I'm just trying to, should I go to the fifth one for y'all? Because I know that that's what y'all want. You know what I'm saying? Then we get back into some more music. But this is for my homeboy know who he is. He's getting fat. He's like, I ain't getting fat, Stu. I ain't getting fat. I won't say that he has a cooking show. But no, I won't say that. But that's what he does, you know. But he does cook. You know, he has a cooking show. Part of his cooking show is he cooks, you know. He cooks really well. I'm not going to say that. I won't say that he comes on tomorrow. No, I ain't going to say that. Do he come on tomorrow? Yeah, he comes on tomorrow. I won't say that he, you know, I ain't going to say that. But this is who I'm talking about. Now, another reason why I know you're getting fat, because your medicine cabinet is the brain, too. We have a host of drugs in our medicine cabinet. A host of drugs that, you know, this is when you know that you're getting fat, too. If you got a host of drugs that treat diabetes, depression, high blood pressure, inflammatory disease, and more weight, you know, these things, you know, formidable, more weight effect regulation. Some will make you hungrier, and, you know, others will stimulate your body to store the fat, you know. And if the drug affects the brain, there's a good chance it affects the weight. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that we need to look into. I'm going to get back into some more music, man. I know y'all bugging out at me because y'all say he's a doctor, too. I'm a doctor. I'm an author. I'm a DJ. I'm a coach. I'm a father. I'm a lover. I'm a dancer. I'm a B-boy. I'm an artist. I'm an all-American DJ Big Stu. I do it all. Down.
female that you've heard thus far. And I do get better, the voice gets wetter, nobody gets hurt
as long as you let her
do my thing with an 89 swing. The dopeness I write, I guarantee delight to the hip-hop maniac, the uptown brainiac in full effect. MC Light is back and better than before, as if that was possible. My competition, you'll find them in the hospital. Visiting time, I think it's on a Sunday, but notice they only get one day to shine. The rest of the week is mine, and I'll blind you with the science that the others have yet to find. So come along and I'll lead you the right way. Just clap your hands to the words I say. Come on. I got the power to spit out and devour at the same time. I'll eat you up with a rhyme, but I'll let you slide because you accidentally hopped on the wrong side. Now come on, that's suicide. Hypothetically speaking, okay, let's say you didn't know what you were doing. You're new in town and you're looking around for another name to ruin, and it's me that you're pursuing. Well, 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 I'll be damned. I might as well tell you who I am. I am the capital L-Y-T-E, and it's shocking, I'm the one you're mocking. Oh yeah, I've been watching you, watching me like the fat on your back. It's plain to see that you're a wannabe, but you can't be what you're not, so you better start living with what you got.
Check it out. MCMI, people call me Milk. When I'm rushing up a party, I feel no guilt. Milk is cutting up for the suckers that down with me. The one of us, that's how I feel. To be down, you must appeal to the two. We're rated R. We're gifted and we're going far down the road to the bank. While I'm here, I'd like to thank Mom and Dad. They knew the time. And looking hard, I got a great big bodyguard. So step up if you wanna get hurt. Milky's on or pull this skirt. I get money, money I got. Some call me honey if they feel real hot. That's how it is. You can ask this. I stole your nigga while you was in prison, jail for MC assault. You was jealous, it's all your fault. Milk is chilling, blood is chilling. What more can I say? Top. Clap. If your girl's out of place, it's your girl I slap. And if you're dumb, you ask why. I am from bed, do or die. MC Light, Light DMC. I got a brother and his name's Milk D. Milk is chillin', Light is chillin'. What more can I say? Top villain, that's what we get. Got it good, since you understood. Would you bite a rhyme if you dare? I get the paper so I don't care. My contribution to this jam is confusing because I am Milk D. Said it all the way. The super easy ride is MC, okay? Yes, I'm down, down by law. I get the fellas out on the floor. Milk is D, down is he. Super at the top is where we'll be. The place was packed when we toured. Girls come in, you won't be bored. Milk is chilling, Light is chilling. What more can I say? Top villain, that's what we get. Got it good, and since you understood, would you do a dance? Dance the two. If you can dance, it's easy to do. This dance is on and on and on. Dance until your breath is gone.
No way you can get enough of me. Yo, Mr. Big Star, I'm the
you say in your night. Don't come to me and say, take it light. I'm your mistress. Stop.
Who do you think you are?
I'm a quick rhyme shooter, rap rookie recruiter. I always say could, never ever say coulda. I'm healthy and stacked, not a beast or a fact. I get applause and awards every time I rap. I love the way I am, I would never switch. I'm the greatest entertainer since porno flicks. You move and groove to my funky suit. Party people, it's time to make room for you, Mr. Beast. So,
who do you think you are?
I mean, spit stuff, correct it. Me, the mastermind, top dollar money better. Go get a designer, a black girl lover, and a woman pleaser. Girl, come to me, say,
I have a lot of pleasure.
Unincredible, overweight, huggable, prince of poetry. That's why I'm so lovable. I got the knack to keep the fly girls shoving. 260 pounds of good loving. They all want me, extra heavy. The more up the beat, the more the instant sweet. Got the juice to get loose, make your old get up. You want to swing, give me your ring, heavy D. You miss the big stuff.
I know about that one. What y'all know about that one? I dig in the crates, man. What y'all know about that one? Anyway, back to telling my homeboy on the radio that you know you are getting bad if you don't want to admit it. Well, anyway, you underestimate portions and calories. That's how you can tell you're getting fat, because you're always underestimating portion and calories. And why do I say that? Because even dietitians underestimate calories, and by human amount. One study found that women and overweight people miscalculate more often than others. Other studies suggest that the greatest understanding occurs when meals are the largest, and that it doesn't have anything to do with how fat someone is. If you understand that for what it may be. But don't get mad at me, because I'm just a mess. And, you know, number seven, you know, I might have to break it down to you a little bit. When you eat mindlessly, or when you're distracted, when you just cooking, like, you know, just cooking, bringing plate after plate after plate after plate after plate after plate. You know you're trying everything while you're cooking, right? But anything, let's get back to it. You know, when you eat mindlessly and when you're distracted, do you eat dinner in front of the TV? Do you stop eating when you're full or when the show is over? All too often, such distractions lead to more and more mouthfuls of pasta and potatoes for people like you. If you're munching from a bag of chips or a box of crackers, you can't keep track of how much you have eaten. And plenty of dieters report they didn't even realize they snacked from the candy bowl or nibbled from the child's plate until it was too damn late. I'm trying to save lives here, man. Do y'all feel me, man? Do y'all understand what a brother trying to do? Now, this is another thing. This is why you're not losing weight. These are all the things that why people be talking about who say they're on a diet and they're supposed to be on a diet. They're not really on a diet. You know, they're sneaking around. They're on a diet when they're in front of you. They're on a diet when they're standing around the crowd or when they want to talk about the diet, but they ain't really on the diet. Anyway, you deprive yourself. Your list of can't have foods is so long. It rivals the nation tally of foreclosed homes. In fact, you have been so strict with yourself, you can't even remember the last time you ate a donut or a candy bar or a slice of pizza. Then, like so many times before you give in, you know, you scarf down something taboo and now you mad at yourself. So what the heck you think? You just eat everything on your forbidden list. To get out your self-esteem, you'll start your diet all over again, or you might start it next week. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's when you know you ain't losing no weight. Because every other day, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do my diet next week. I'm going to go back to some more music and come back later and tell you the rest of the reasons why, two more reasons why you ain't losing no God, no damn, ooh, ooh. No, I'm going to say it like this. Why you ain't losing no ooh, ooh, weight. Why you ooh, to yourself. Why you playing around? Why you just wasting everybody's time? You know what I mean? Let's get into some music. Because I'm mad at you. Because you don't want to understand that you ain't losing weight.
I don't know what this world is coming to.
Yes, the rhythm's a rebel. Without a pause, I'm lowering my level. The hard rhyme, where you never been, I'm in. You want styling? You know it's time again. See, the enemy telling you to hear it. They praise the music, it's time to play the lyrics. Some say no to the album, the show. Bum rush the sound I made a year ago. I guess you know, you guess I'm just a radical. Not on sabbatical, yes, to make it critical. The only part of your body should be part of it too. Pass the power on the hour from the rebel to you.
Hey, yo, Jeff, man.
Never play me on the mix.
see my car keys, you'll never get these. They belong to the 9-8 posse. You want some more, son? You want to get some? Bum rush the door of the store, pick up the album. You know the rhythm, the rhyme, plus the beat is designed so I can hit your mind, boys. Bring the noise, my time. Step aside for the flex, Terminator X.
Yeah, that's right. This shit is ready to Cole Medina, boy. That's right, Cole Medina. That's right. We showing up in EFFECT, other known as a sex. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, boy.
Bring that back one more time.
Bring that beat back,
bring
man.
The teacher?
Yeah, man, I'm getting so sick of this, man. They teaching us about nothing, man. You know what the bottom line is for black people out here? It's quite simple. You must learn. Reasoning, you're trying to make me you by seasoning up my mind with DJing.
hardcore New York. Come on now, that's like a chocolate cow. It doesn't exist, no way, no how. It seems to me that in a school this ebony, African history should be pumped up steadily, but it's not. And this has got to stop. See spot, run, run, get spot. Insulting to a black mentality, a black way of life, or a jet black family. So I include with one concern that you must learn.
Just like I told you.
You must learn. Believe that if you're teaching history, deal with straight up facts, no mystery. Teach the student what needs to be taught, cause black and white kids both take shorts. When one doesn't know about the other one's culture, ignorance swoops down like a vulture. Cause you don't know that you ain't just a janitor. No one told you about Benjamin Banneker, a brilliant black man that invented the almanac. Can't you see what KRS is coming at? With Eli Whitney, Haile Selassie, Granville Woods made the walkie-talkie. Louis Latimer improved on Edison. Charles Drew did a lot for medicine. Garrett Morgan made the traffic lights. Harriet Tubman freed the slaves at night. Madam C.J. Walker made the straightening comb. But you won't know this if you weren't shown. The point I'm getting at, it might be harsh, is we're just walking around brainwashed. See what I'm saying? It's not to diss a man. We need the 89 school system, one that caters to a black return, because you must learn.
specifically black.
I return from the stone crib, bringing verbal milk, a stool and a bib. Beef pills of the black sack from the tri womb. It flows Philly on a tune. Wheat bread, tasty jam. Come take a show to the rhythm of the grand. Verbal lava coming from the temple of void. Crown for my hat, man for my boy. Onward ride as I talk a raw. Converse with Horace, he ate with tar. I ride to Jeb to roar with bass. Atron to move as I ride the raft. Roof of the world I sit. Cross legged, right over left. Drums of dance to drums of war. Who knows the score? Speak no more. Who watches down with the eyes of black to the east Blackwood?
As we are protected by the red, the black, and the green, heed the words of the brother.
Let us the word to phrase, the paragraph. Heed masses, J begins class. Science of past is now brought to the rhyme face. From the scrolls, state to the verse. God to God, from God to man.
Oh, yeah, you know how to take y'all back, man. Had to take y'all back a little bit, man. We're going to go on to the last two. And then, you know, I'm going to get into some other news, man. I'm going to get it over because y'all saying people was, like, hitting me up on Facebook. Like, what do you mean? You talking about, you know, big people hitting me up, wanting to fight me and stuff. You know, I didn't do the research. It's just, you know, I did the research. I didn't write what I researched. I called all my homeboys and homies and the diet and the health thing and, you know, and that's what, this is what they gave me. They all email me different opinions. So this is what it is. Another reason why you're not losing weight is you're usually good, but you always watch your portion. You start every morning with a healthful breakfast. You eat only baked chicken, not fried. Always, that is, unless you're on a vacation, or you're dining out, or you're celebrating a birthday, or you're sharing an anniversary, or you're honoring your son's first home run. Consistency is the key to dropping pounds. Researchers involved with the National Weight Control Registry found that those who eat similarly day after day are likely to maintain weight loss than others. One splurge meal in the restaurant can easily undo all the things you've been doing for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know? So, you know, the whole point, if you're trying to lose weight, don't derail yourself. You know? Don't see y'all bugging out because y'all didn't know I know this stuff. But I do. So my last reason, man, when you don't know, is this. Is this one kind of plain and simple? I might have one more reason as a bonus, but here's my last reason. Don't overestimate your calorie burn. Now, y'all might be saying, yo, Stu, what you mean don't overestimate your calorie burn? Don't go to the gym machines, you go to the gym, you get in the machine, because gym machines are notorious for overestimating the calorie burns by exercising. Dieters can easily out-eat their workouts. Your 30-minute power walk may burn off 200 calories, but won't make up for, you know, your after exercise power smoothie. So what you should do is, exercise is an important tool in controlling your weight and maintaining good health, but rewarding yourself with food, it's tempting to follow the sweat session with a smoothie or a muffin. Consider first doing some different things, you know? You know, just think about what you're doing when you go get something to eat. So, man, I used to like this song. It's my man Bush with Bill, man, you know? I think right now I'm going to get into two ghetto boy joints. Then I'm going to come back and maybe we'll talk a little bit more. And then we'll play some R&B because I just don't want to do it for the hip-hop heads. But y'all must agree that I threw it down tonight on the Throwback Monday. I threw it back hard on the hip-hop side. You know what I'm saying? I went this way, that way, this way, that way, this way, that way. I think I'm going to do the same exact thing when I play some R&B music tonight. People like R&B music. Yeah, I like digging in the crates. It makes, like, when I be digging in the crates, it makes me look like I'm looking for certain things. Like, I'm like a treasure hunter, you know, and I'm hunting through the treasure of some music, you know. And when I get the treasure, I bring it back to the masses and give it out. Like, I'm like Robin Hood. So it's like I bring the good music to y'all and give it to y'all. So we're going to get into these Ghetto Boys. I'm going to do two more Ghetto Boy joints. We in here for a little more. We know we got some time, y'all. Once again, for those of y'all who checked out my interview with Mr. Jerry Smith, I hope, you know, it can help anybody out there who's diagnosed with any life terminal disease. It could give you hope, you know, to try to, you know, further, you know, be more, you know, to stay alive at the end of the day. The crazy part about it is I put so many dollars in this, you know, bucket. We got a bucket that says, you know, if we say you know, we all got to give a dollar. And I always say you know, because that's like my way. You know how the Italians got their, you know, way. The Indians got their little slang. But us brothers, you know, that's how we do it. You know, we give a little up to it, like, yeah, no. You nizzle though. But you see, I'm going to change it, because if I say you see, they can't make me pay a dollar. So I think I got something new going on. You see, I think I'm going to learn how to beat my man Kappa and his plan to get rich. You see. But anyway, let's get back to some Ghetto Boy.
I know the Lord is looking at me, but yet he still is all for me to feel happy. I often drift when I drive, having fatal thoughts of suicide. Bang and get it over with, and then I'm worry free, but that's bullshit. I got a little boy to look after, and if I die, then my child will be a bastard. I had a woman down with me, but to me it seems like she was down to get me. She helped me out in this shit, but to me she was just another bitch. Now she's back with her mother. Now I'm realizing that I love her. Now I'm feeling lonely. My mind is playing tricks on me.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating. Robbing little kids for bags, till an old man got behind our ass. So we speeded up the pace, took a look back, and he was right before our face. He'd be in for a squabble, no doubt. So I swung and hit the nigga in his mouth. He was going down, we figured, but this wasn't no ordinary nigga. He stood about 6 or 7 feet. Now that's the nigga I be seeing in my sleep. So we triple teamed on him, dropping them motherfucking bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew. Then he disappeared, and my boys disappeared too. Then I felt just like a fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. It was dark as fuck on the street. My hands were all bloody from punching on the concrete. Goddamn, homie, my mind is playing tricks on me.
Bring it on!
Come to your dome, we'll fill a motherfucking glock. The bullet shallows in the huddle, let no shot. Biggity bang, hit the motherfucking deck. I'm down on the track and I'm about to get wrecked. I'm coming like a hustler, never coming bust up. Blasting on you hoes, screaming down, motherfucker. Never showing mercy, cause that shit is for the weak. I'm up out with my gun, can knock a nigga off his feet. A young nigga, shut up, I'm bigger. Step up with that bullshit, I'm gonna greet you with the trigger. Blasting on you hoes and let you know how it feels.
It's the seed stuff, the major league stuff. Bitch deceiver, nigga like a lever. Oakland hustler, never been a buster. Make way for the 9, right? I'm coming, motherfucker. Straight from the 6-9, the final line village. Doing more damage than an exile village. Coward, and that's that. I'm known to pack a gat and put heads on flat. No rehabilitating. My trigger, take a nigga out the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto while the nigga ain't nothing changed since the 70s. some hellbound nigga. My life ain't never been heavily, never slipping pump, no, a nigga don't lag. Game tight, replacing niggas, nice with a toe tag. The zoo is ass and the zigger, I'm the founder. Stacking up bodies like Jeffrey Dahmer. Oh, here comes the flow, watch me as I tiptoe to a nigga's window with my M60. Putting motherfuckers out the misery and watching the murders reenacted on unsolved mysteries. Trick, coward, lame, pussy ass faggot. 6 feet deep is where you sleep with the worms and the maggots. Niggas can't harm me, rap a lot on me. Coming like Desert Storm, even warm. But if you still want some, nigga, bring it on.
Too much trouble that sold us the tracks. Bitches not paying like they win, I get smacked by some young niggas that's down to break a bitch. The nickel nut and the band-aid bandit.
It's a nickel nut, pippin' 10 different sluts. You can call it slavery, bitch, I don't give a fuck. They better tell some tricks and suck a lot of dicks and come with my money or they get their ass kicked.
Ghetto got holes on the store making my bank roll. Fuck with Jingle, bitch, I roll with foes. Cause it's all about the pen, I ain't talking about the pussy. I'm talking about the paper, so bitch, check your money.
It's a pimp, pimp.
Yeah, that was some real raw old school ghetto boys. Y'all don't even understand that one right there. Now, I remember when I first heard the Ghetto Boys. The Ghetto Boys was that crew that, you know, that was deep. And this was that joint right there. This is one of the first joints. They had a few other members in the Ghetto Boys. They was deep. You know what I'm saying? Before we just broke down to Bushwick and Willie D. You know, and out in New York, we felt that because we was like, yo, all these kids out of the Fifth Ward, you know what I'm saying? That's what we thought, you know, we knew they was from the Fifth Ward back then. All these kids out of Texas, all these kids out of Dallas. It was hard, it was fat to see some cats from the South, because it didn't come, see, if you listen to this joint right here, this joint don't sound Dirty South, it don't sound East Coast, it sound like the hip-hop. So it was really fat at the time to see some cats from Texas come out with some hardcore hip hop. You know, they sound like they was from the Bronx or Brooklyn or Queens at the time. So that's how it was, man. We really felt the Ghetto Boys. Now back to my thing. How calorie conscious are you? You know what I'm saying? And that's what you need to do. You need to take a quiz. And you know, you need to take a quiz. I've been thinking about giving y'all the quiz, but should I give you the quiz? Some people was like, well, you done told us all the reasons why we ain't losing weight, so why should we do? Well, you know what I'm saying? The first thing that I want you to do when you do with this quiz, man, is start your morning off right. Which breakfast has the least amount of calories? One cup of granola cereal, a glazed donut, two scrambled eggs with cheese. Now, I know y'all know the answer to that. You know what I'm saying? I don't gotta tell y'all the answer to that. But if I have to tell y'all the answer, that would be a shame. You know what I'm saying? So these are quizzes, you know, these are questions you ask yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, should I give y'all another question? Because I don't even want to give y'all the question. I think I'm going to put the question on the website. I think I'd be better off doing that. Just posting the questions on the website, you know? But, that's what it is, man. We're gonna get back into some, you know, I like this Ghetto Boys joint, but it was really raw, you know what I'm saying? Back in the days, it was really raw. Ghetto Boys is hardcore. I remember riding trips to D.C., playing the whole Ghetto Boys, like the first Ghetto Boy, well, I mean the first Ghetto Boy album I was exposed to. When I finally realized, when I got into, I remember this song they had called Mind of a Lunatic. That joint was fire, fire, fire. I should have played that today. I got to look at my crates. I don't even think I brought that joint. But, you know, anyway, I'm not going to play no more hip-hop because I promised the R&B heads on Facebook I'm going to play some R&B. So it's only right if I do that. You know what I mean? It's only right if I get into some R&B and take you back into the days and make you feel good. Because this is Throwback Monday with DJ Big Stu. You know what I'm saying? We do a little talk. You know, when you check out Beast Through Radio, we give you a lot, man. We give you variety. The Beast Through Radio family, we give you variety. Make sure tomorrow night you check me out with my man Kev. Get his cook on on Taste of Hip Hop Cooking. It's going to be a great show. You know what I'm saying? He got his, you know, from what I understand, I think he has a chef coming on. I'm not sure. I know there's a chef coming on. I don't know his name, so I don't want to make a mistake with his name. But I heard he has a well-known chef coming on his show that has a lot of great dishes and a lot of great recipes. And you know, Kev, he always got his thing together. You know, he lays his thing down. Plus, he has a nice, you know, he has a nice DJ on the background of him playing on the wheel to tail, playing the hot hip-hop. TasteOfHipHopCooking.com, baby. You know, you just got to make sure you tune into it tomorrow night, 10 p.m. All right, make sure y'all be there prime time, 10 p.m. You know what I'm saying? You can check me out. Make sure y'all go to the Beef Stew Radio Facebook and press the like button. We need you to do that. Hit the like button on Beef Stew Radio fan page, man. Beef Stew Radio, the fan page. Hit the like button. You know what I'm saying? If you on Linkage, if you on Stumbled Upon, if you on Twitter, hit us up on Twitter too. You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all do that. You see? You see? Yeah, you see? See, I ain't say you know. I say, you know what I'm saying? So I still didn't have to put a dollar because he said, you know. See, he got to get deep and get some more guidelines to that joint because I'm like a lawyer. You know, they used to call me the low budget Johnny Cochran. You know what I'm saying? My old job, I used to be a janitor. You know, I'm not going to say where, but my old job, I used to be a janitor. And they used to call me Johnny Cochran because I used to go in there and fight for the brothers, man. You know what I'm saying? I used to go in there and fight master for the brothers, fight hard. But this is what it is, yo. This is how we do it. Hold up, I messed y'all up on that one, right? We're going to go back.
Don't even propaganda. Oh, sailor.
come on, listen it on. Y'all want this party started quickly, right?
Set it off, I suggest. Set it off, I suggest.
On the left,
on the right,
on the left,
I suggest
going
left,
on the left,
on the right,
Thank you. back, close your eyes. Think about all those wonderful times that we used to have. Yeah. Now I know things aren't the way they used to be right now, but they are going to get better someday. And I know that. And I remember when we used to play shoot 'em up,
shoot 'em up, baby.
Coming out, man, listening to me every day, man, supporting Beef Stew Radio. We love that down here. I told you I was going to get down and throw some joints on for the R&B people, too, because I do it down for the old school hip-hop. Make sure y'all check out my man Kev, get his cook on tomorrow night. Taste of Hip-Hop Cooking, 10 p.m. It's going to be a great show. Make sure you be there. I will be in the building on the Wheels of Steel. Once again, it's your man, DJ Big Stu, Beef Stu Radio. And I'll be back here again Wednesday night. I'm going to be introducing y'all to my man, Will Porter, on Wednesday night. Will Porter will be in effect next week, Zoned Out Entertainment. We'll be on the radio show, the spoken word show. It's a deep show. Wait till you see it. It got a little bit of everything, a little bit of freestyling, a little bit of spoken word, a little bit of, you know, some magazine. It's definitely something that we're proud to be bringing to Beef Stew Radio. Once again, Will Porter, big shout out to him. He's coming to the family. Away from my man Jess James to get in the building. He's supposed to be coming to the family. RJ Dapper, he's coming in the building. We are fully staffed here at Beef Stew Radio. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to my man Drinks on Russ. Did his thing last night, as always. You know what I'm saying? Had a great show. And the Kappa, once again, we definitely promoting Saturday night. Make sure you tune into Hot Talk. We having a State of the Union. Men against the women. It's going to be real big. It's going to be me, Kappa. Yes, Mimi, K. Nicole. We're going to get Big Mama Kim to come in. We're going to get Drinks on Russ to come in. And we're going to have a debate. And it's going to be a real serious debate. So make sure y'all tune in for that. That's something that we definitely want y'all to do, you know? So, you know, once again, it's me in the building how I always do it. How you know I do it. Big Stu, I throw down the jams, man. Big shout out to all my homies out there. You know what I'm saying? All the homies in Clinton Projects, all the homies on Madison Avenue, all the homeboys in Lenox Avenue, 8th Avenue, 7th Avenue. You know what I mean? All the brothers up in St. Nicholas, St. Nicholas Ave, you know? Big shouts out to my man Ray, Doc, and Doug out of the Colonial. Wrangle, you know them as Colonial, the old people, you know. Big shouts out to my homies up in Colonial Houses up there on 55th, and also a lot of shout out to the Polo Ground homies. Shout out to my homies in King Towers, my homies in Jefferson, my homies in Carver, my homies in Washington, East River, Metro North, Wagner. Wow, my project Clinton for sure, you know what I'm saying? The project where I was born and raised, you know, 109th Street, 110th Street, across the 110. Oh, yes, that's what I represent, baby, across 110th Street. They made a movie about it. Want to hear about it? Here you go. But anyway, we got about 1 minute left to do what we do. When we do it real big. You know, we got some parties coming up. I'm going to be letting y'all know that this week. Some of y'all say, yo, Stu, you've been laid back. Because, you know, I'll be laid back at nighttime when I'm by myself. I'm in the studio by myself. I'm chilling. You know, everybody, but when, you know, the fellas is here, I'll just be up a little bit more. But when the fellas ain't here and everybody's on, I'm just in here. Like, right now, I got a pizza pie. Got my records. You know, got me a 32-ounce ginger ale. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no Moscato today. I ain't got no vitamins today. You know, I'm just here on my lonely, just in here playing some good music for y'all, and I'm about ready to get off the air right now, so I just want to say goodnight to everybody. Thanks for listening to Beef Stew Radio, man. I really do appreciate it.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now, we're talking about beef stew.
Try this beef stew.
Try this beef stew.